How you all doing? Good. You know, I used to start this lecture by saying you won't be doing so well when I get done with you. But this actually is a different time in history. And personally, I've grown a lot. And I can tell you that this news that you're going to hear tonight, program that you're going to hear tomorrow night, shares the worst of the worst news in Earth's history and the best of the best news. And it's so nice to be here. It's an honor to be here. I want to thank Ian for putting this together. And I'm going to be sharing with you today and tomorrow the evidence for the statements that we are at a pivotal place. The choice has never been clearer. It is absolutely vitally important that you attend to both the bad news as well as the great news. The bad news that you're going to hear tonight obviously concerns everybody on the planet. Deals with the depopulation agenda. Deals with the viruses, the emerging viruses and the great plagues. And that the great news deals with how we're going to get out of that. Interesting, we've come to a point in time in history where the choice really involves us not only just raising of consciousness and awareness as to what the risks are, but also the spiritual blessings that you've been feeling, most of you in your hearts, that have actually brought you here in a divine appointment, a synchronicity. So this is really about a celebration. You know, it's kind of like not even the last act or the end times. I was celebrating the other day in Laguna Beach with friends, and we kind of looked at this, and this is actually the after party. And it's a somber time for those who don't grasp that. Tomorrow I'm going to share with you, I think, what are the principal keys that are going to unlock your hearts to manifest the magnificent capability that you have, the optimal destiny to be fulfilled. Not so much the new world order that's been planned by the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Vanderbilts, Carnegies, the old families, the old monies. No. This is a new world order that my creator and yours also wants, but it's not going to be run by corporate fascists conducting genocide under the guise of national security and public health. For those of us who have been living in faith, this is a wonderful, wonderful celebration. It's a period of history that, you know, the genocide is so clear. It's kind of like we're looking at the emperor's new clothes. The story of the emperor marching completely in the nude, and there's only one person in that audience in that story that finally stands up and says, the emperor's got no clothes. Well, here you have probably the vast majority of you, wonderful people, in fact, multimedia, broadcasting the fact that the emperor's got no clothes. But the mainstream media keeps drumming the same old drum, and the parade keeps marching. So there's a lot of people who are not going to attend to this particular message that we have to share this weekend. And it's just like your family and friends who you've been trying to wake up for a long time, that the window shade of disbelief falls in front of their eyes and they look at you like something's wrong with you when you simply try to tell them the obvious one and one is two that you're counting and seeing before your eyes. So that there's something special about you, something special about what brought you here, something special about this time. By I have the grace and the absolute humility, and I'm humbled to be sharing with you the incredible revelations that I'm going to be sharing with you this weekend, to do something with it that is to at least save you, to at least save you, not just physically. We're talking about physical salvation and spiritual evolution. That's the context of this program. Tonight we're going to talk about physical salvation. How are you going to deal with what they're about to do? Injection, infection, intoxication, population reduction. That's what's on tap for the New World Order. So the question becomes, okay, we're obviously intelligent people. We can sit down reasonably, rationally, and discuss what it is our treatment plan for this pathology. We can diagnose, that is, we can see through to the root cause of the disorder, and we can watch as the vectors of pathogenesis unfold, and we can then make a determination as to what is the right next choice for you and your children and your loved ones. And it certainly is not about getting vaccinated. So then tomorrow it is about, gee whiz, how are we now able to fully receive the full measure of blessing? You know, there's a balance in the universe. And as dark as it seems out there, there's got to be somewhere an equal measure of light. And I have the wonderful privilege of sharing with you the lightest of the light, the most magnificent opportunity in Earth's history is right now unfolding. It is called the Concert for the Living Water. And tomorrow I'll be sharing a lot about water. I'm going to make several appeals. I'll do one right now. I think there is an opportunity for heroes in this audience to step up, because right now there are about 40 venues around the world that are going to have celebrations on the weekend of June 19th to the 21st to literally celebrate and administer Earth's greatest spiritual concert in history. And there are none in all of England. So I'm going to appeal to you, for those of you who are here, particularly those of you who are organizers, events coordinators, musicians or agents, vocalists, to simply get it together. And unfortunately or fortunately, the opportunity is that those who said that they would administer this have not followed through. Just like so many of your friends and family that you've counted on for so long. And that, as we'll talk about tomorrow, is simply a symptom of the underlying pathology. That we have been dumbed down, mind controlled, and enslaved to something that literally is not even human. What we're dealing with is, from a behavioral science perspective, I can share with you as an introduction to tonight, it bears no semblance of love, of empathy, of compassion. Human resources are conceived of as lower than dogs or snails. Decisions are made from the most high political places and economic places to depopulate certain numbers, percentages of populations. And for those of you who have love in your hearts, gee whiz, we can't even conceive that would be possible. But yet we're the educated. We've been studying this for quite a while, and we see it's happening. And that's why the vast majority of people, men who lead lives of quiet desperation, can't even clue in to the fact that they're being taken out. So the opportunity is, and the greatest blessing, the greatest freedom, the greatest frontier lies within you and your hearts. And so the information with regard to frequency vibration and water science that we're going to be sharing with you tomorrow is, in my humble opinion, based on all the evidence that I'm looking at, that single choice, that singularity, that moment in history where conscious human beings, loving, capable, worthy human beings who are capable of making that choice in these last moments where we still have a semblance of choice left to make it and go for it 100%. So it's an honor for me to be here, and thank you so much for taking your time and being with us this weekend. Okay, emerging viruses, AIDS and Ebola, nature, accident or intentional, death in the air, globalism, terrorism, and toxic warfare. It's two of my 16 books, and it is one of my bestsellers is emerging viruses. Death in the air hasn't become a bestseller yet. Maybe after tonight will become one. I've never given this presentation before tonight. I've been asked to give those presentations, but I tell you something, you know what? You don't like to do too many things that are old. You like to move on to new things, right? So I thought I would develop this presentation tonight to speak to our times right now. We have a plague. We're told pandemic, flu. So I want you to know what's going on. This is the most critical and urgent and newsworthy issue currently facing us. This is news as of last week, a couple weeks ago, in fact. Rare gesture by Obama to salute President Bush's flu plan. In the United States, we have a model State Emergency Health Powers Act that has been enacted in most states that arrests the state's constitution and the federal law system. That in the power of the state and federal public health officials, they have now legislated that at any point that a plague pandemic is announced and there is a threat considered, and it's very vague how it's defined. It can be a single virus. It could be anything from a leukemia virus discovered, which they've already sent out and unleashed. But the reality is that they have the capacity to eliminate every aspect of human freedom in the United States. They already have this law, Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, that allows people to become deputized. The emergency responders, the fire officials, physicians, nurses, police officers are deputized under the law. They can then be engaged in bringing people to quarantine camps and facilities, which are today's name for concentration camps. And therein, under this law, the public health official will deem what drugs shall be taken and what vaccines shall be injected. So a few weeks ago when this came out, it was interesting that America's great black savior has suddenly decided to endorse the Satanist named Bush's plan for public health and safety. We realize that we're into some very interesting times. We're going to talk a little bit about depopulation through vaccination tonight. We're going to tell you a little bit about, I don't have the time to cover as much as I'd love to, but the reality is when you get vaccinated, you get injected with incredibly foreign RNA, foreign DNA, foreign proteins from bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, chicken embryo, bovine fetal serum, monkey kidney tissues, and with smallpox, it's cow pus. When you get injected with foreign RNA and DNA and foreign proteins from these foreign sources and various species, what is like, duh, obvious to any medical deity who happens to read any of the literature is that those foreign proteins land inside your body into your own and attach to your own body parts, your own proteins in the cells. Now you've got what's called in the immunological literature an antigenic complex that's formed. It's, let's say, half of your own and half of a foreign piece of protein that your white blood cell bodyguards, these macrophages, the big eaters, they come along, they see this, they gobble it up, and they read the code of the amino acids. Part of your own and part of the foreign. And it reads that code and it tells the army of white blood cell bodyguards, your immune system, your lymphocytes, that says, if you ever see this sequence, attack and destroy. And so now you've just diagnosed, you've seen through to the root cause of all of today's most hideous plagues. Here's a short list. Besides the cancers, besides the childhood injuries, these chronic draining ear infections that won't quit, the leukemias, the lymphomas, the sarcomas, particularly hitting children that were non-existent years ago. Chronic fatigue, immune dysfunction, fibromyalgia. These are the autoimmune diseases. Chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, lupus, MS, ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. Chronic crippling rheumatoid arthritis, adult and juvenile type 1 diabetes, Crohn's disease, Guillain-Barré, Stephen Johnson syndrome, Bell's palsy, and many more. What do you expect when you intoxicate the principal system that is designed by Creator to make sure that if you get any type of internal attack, that it attacks and destroys it? In essence, they've turned your number one defense against disease against you. With regard to Tamiflu, look at what they're currently doing, stockpiling Tamiflu, Baxter's vaccinations for population intoxication, population reduction. If you look at Donald Rumsfeld, associated with the Bush administration, Secretary of Defense, intimate connections to Gilead Corporation and some of the companies that we're going to talk about tonight. By the way, I saw on the segment earlier, James Baker III also connected intimately to cashing in on this medical profiteering, and also previous Secretary James Baker III linked intimately to this Tamiflu profiteering. Tamiflu, by the way, if you study Dr. Bell's work and people who have been critically evaluating the toxicity, the neurotoxicity of this psychotropic drug, that's what Tamiflu really is. It will kill people by causing dementia. We had a real big win because of people like you. When the first flu broke out in Mexico, this new particular flu, I'm going to share with you the updates of this flu right now, where it comes from and what it's about. I rushed because I'm fully engaged with Live H2. We're in crunch time now. We've got 3 weeks before June 19th to the 21st, where the greatest event, spiritual event, I believe, since the crucifixion, is about to happen. So I'm focused on that, but you know, I have so many callings with regard to this old news and this genocide that I rushed and I put on YouTube a 10-minute special report on the Mexican flu, and boy, because of the grace of folks like you and the Creator, I held the top spot on Google searches for the entire 3 days that the major fright was happening. In about 30 hours, we had close to 100,000 people who viewed the truth about the Mexican flu. It didn't make any sense, and it's still up there now. If you haven't seen it, it's certainly worth a read. Just do a Google search, put in special report Mexican flu in Google, and you'll see the same image that you see now, where I talked about Novavax Corporation. I left Baxter out of it, so tonight I'm going to share with you what the British government has done, stockpiling Baxter's vaccinations, and I won't talk too much about Novavax tonight. But this is a real down-home issue for you folks in London. I don't need to tell you what we're dealing with is an Anglo-American genocidal operation. The vaccine pipeline runs from Britain to the U.S., as does control over intelligence agencies through naval research, naval intelligence, MI6 to CIA, Mossad on down. But I want to share with you this. This is a summary of oral evidence from Dr. John Wood and James Robertson from the National Institute for Biological Standards and Control, the NIBSC here in the UK. These folks are your top officials, not only in the UK, but the top officials for influenza, directing the World Health Organization's response and vaccination agenda for the WHO, the World Health Organization. In essence, these two men have the most powerful positions of any person on this planet in directing the response, the, quote, biodefense response for influenza. So I'm going to read to you a little bit. Actually, I'm going to read to you just a very small part, but I'm going to summarize the oral evidence presented in this document that, interestingly enough, they didn't pull. I typically have seen whenever I come out with things in the past that are pretty powerful, you know, within days, they're pulled from the internet. Well, apparently this is still up, so you can get a copy of this. This is a summary that was presented in writing based on virtually a backroom deal and discussion by World Health Organization officials and the think tanks that were involved in the biodefense strategies for the global pandemic of H5N1, the avian, and H1N1 swine flu and Spanish flu strains. Dr. Robertson, from this evidence, you can absolutely be certain, number one, controls the standardization of influenza vaccines based on these strains of flu viruses produced on behalf of the World Health Organization. These two guys are at the forefront, and Robertson, I believe, based on what I've been reading of him, as the foremost, involved in the serological testing of vaccine trials for these agents internationally, prepare these strains of influenza viruses for these trials, select all strains of viruses used in flu vaccine research and development on behalf of the EU, the Economic European Union, prepare and distribute selected influenza viruses on behalf of all the vaccine manufacturers. So in other words, if you've got a vaccine corporation, a maker of vaccinations anywhere in the world, this is the guy, particularly Robertson, who selects what viruses you're going to be working with to produce that vaccine. Prepares and distributes then also selected influenza viruses on behalf of these vaccine makers. Then promotes, I mean, this is the guy who's out in the front over every single meeting, promoting the governmental stockpiling of the latest influenza vaccines, providing economic incentives, he does, for private companies to invest in vaccine research and development. He basically proclaims poverty and how it is sad that we don't give enough money to governments for vaccine research and development. He prefers American corporate collaborations with H5N1, H1N1, and H9N2 research, allegedly due to the availability of U.S. taxpayer money to fund this research and development and stockpiling of vaccines. They introduce laboratory flu viruses. Unassumingly, they don't call them viruses anymore. They call them, quote, mock-up files or similars. Similar in that they're laboratory recombinants, genetically modified, mutated, hybridized, new laboratory creations that they don't even want to alert or alarm the public, so they have new names, new terminology for them. So mock-up files is the new term for new man-made laboratory viruses used for vaccine research and development. They entice corporations by sharing these mock-up files to companies to invest, and then they generate new vaccine viruses, these mock-up files or biosimilars, using reverse genetics that Dr. Robertson apparently has a patent on, and that he has the opportunity to have this lucrative intellectual property make him money. Not essentially right now, until the stockpiling and the order is placed, that's when the payoff comes to Dr. Robertson. Beyond having the biotechnology patents and that capability of earning vast wealth from humanity's suffering and intoxication, he holds material transfer agreements that also provide compensations following their delivery of reverse engineered viruses to vaccine companies when related vaccine are ordered, stockpiled, or commercialized. Now, this is what I need to share with you. That was just interesting facts that I shared. They're pretty indicting insofar as conflicts of interest. I'm sure most people who still have a pea brain operating, still they can realize there's a gross conflict of interest in having the world depend on people who hold this kind of power and financial incentive. But this is the issue that I'm concerned about as a researcher in this field. This is a quote from this oral summary in a World Health Organization conference discussing what will be done with regard to influenza. They were asked, Doctors Wood and Robertson were asked their opinion regarding the, quote, priming of human populations. Now, this is a quote, ladies and gentlemen. This is a quote from that paper. Quote, Doctors Wood and Robertson were asked their opinion regarding the priming of human populations for pandemic flu using live viral vaccines and if they consider it to be a good idea? End quote. This question was asked in 2006, just 3 years ago. At the time, they were dealing with another Tyson Corporation-related outbreak of the avian flu. If you understood, if you've read the book Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse several years ago, I produced that book, and I showed you the ties, intimate ties, and the first time H5N1 was even talked about in the mainstream media, it was associated with the Tyson Corporation's vying for a global monopoly over the poultry industry. They apparently loosed these viruses in chickens in Asia. They targeted family farmers and smaller corporations to literally put those folks out of business. And that's the way that industrial espionage, games and sabotage, and literally serial slayings and mass murder to affect economic benefits for large multinational corporations is played today. So the concept that human populations would be primed, you've got to ask one simple question. What would be required in order to convince the public, the entire human population of the planet, to submit to such a priming? I can tell you as a behavioral science expert, Harvard trained in behavioral science, media health education, health promotion, persuasion technologies, research and development, which is why I can watch mainstream media, headline news, and I see it for the cues, the subtle cues, the triggering, all of the little neuro-linguistic programming, messaging, and all of this incredible population manipulation through what is technically called psychological operations, psychological warfare, or short, it's called PSYOPs. And I can tell you that there's no way in hell that they would ever be able to convince the global public to receive, to submit to a priming of these mock-up files or biosimilars laboratory viruses. So you have got to understand that if they were going to loose these beasts, they would have to do it via a psychological operation such as what you're witnessing, which is standard protocol. Psychological operation is part of the United States War College's recommendations following what was called the Revolution in Military Affairs and the conducting of, quote, non-lethal warfare, end quote, which is a misnomer. It just doesn't kill you fast. It's not like an atomic explosion or a bullet that kills you instantly. Non-lethal warfare involves combinations of chemicals and biologicals. The chemicals wreak havoc with the human immune system. We'll talk a little bit more about this in relation to the current flu during this presentation. Chemicals weaken your immune system, make you more susceptible to opportunistic infections. And so this was the standard protocol, was the urgent need in non-lethal warfare, in conducting warfare, quote, non-lethal under the what is called the Russian biological cocktail method. I suppose it was called Russian biological cocktail method, initiated during the Cold War. That name was given because it was an American invention. But the reality is this cocktail now, you follow the chemical intoxication with the biological exposures, and now you have something that is foolproof in terms of genocide. Untraceable. The physicians, just like in Gulf War syndrome, can be out for decades debating what's truly causing all of the signs and symptoms because it's a combination of things. You'd never be able to pin it down to one agent, therefore you've got no liability, which, by the way, in the United States, the drug industrialists don't have to worry about anymore because as part of the Bush administration's plan endorsed by Barack Obama, they have already given the license to kill, total freedom, no potential liability whatsoever to all of the vaccine industrialists and all of the drug industrialists. There's no liability now whatsoever there is a complete legislative freedom to conduct genocide. So this is what you have to understand. Now, here's the answer that Drs. Wood and Robertson, given this background, how they answer. Quote, if live H5N1 vaccines are used now, it would be considered too dangerous. That's 2006. But if a pandemic is imminent, the risk may be justified. A stockpile of live vaccine with the cleavage site removed could be used to prime the population in advance of the pandemic reaching the UK is the dot, dot, dot. I left it out because I speak to American audiences. So essentially, the world's leading experts engaged at the highest level of decision-making regarding what viruses are going to be used by vaccine makers and what vaccines are going to be distributed tell you in black and white in their documents that they have decided it's in everybody's best interest. Now, who are these people that could possibly make that kind of a determination? I'll share with you how they could possibly do that. I don't even know if they're an extraterrestrial. To me, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is we've got to deal with this. And the reality is we could say whatever we want to about Drs. Robertson and Wood. The fact is that they've got the power over massive population reduction. Now, man-made viruses with certain, quote, cleavage sites removed are genetically unstable, in case you don't know that. In essence, if you've got a whole virus, and a cleavage site basically is a place where there's kind of like a lock and key, you know, connection for attachment, just like with HIV/AIDS, there's an attachment site, a CD4 receptor on the cell. There's essentially a site where it can connect to the human cells and basically then be taken into the cells and then cause the immune suppression or whatever reaction that the virus is going to cause in the natural human cells. That's kind of like an attachment site and then a cleavage site. There are certain places within the virus also that deal with attachment that you can actually cleave. Breaks easier in certain spots on the virus. So if you pull those, and that's what really causes then you kind of like mutate, hybridize. You bring two different viruses together at specific points of cleavage, then now you've created a new sequence of virus that is inherently unstable, which is one of the pathognomonic, that is diagnostic, definitive, common sense. Occam's razor says that the simplest explanation for anything is virtually always the right one. We're dealing with literally mind-controlled medical Manchurian candidates, people who have literally dropped common sense to advance pseudoscience. It would be obvious that if you understand HIV from let's say, me to you, the AIDS virus mutates so rapidly it's 5, 6, 7% different, which is one of the reasons they say they can't develop a vaccine for HIV. That tells you something. It tells you that that virus has not been around very long. It tells you that it's not in the jungles of Africa. It didn't come from African monkeys without laboratory induction. Because if a virus is going to be around for millennia, by nature, then it develops stability. Doesn't mutate rapidly when it jumps from one infected person to the next. That's like a duh. And so, I mean, you see how ridiculous this is as we get into this. So this is that they recombine vigorously with nature, genetically engineered viruses. Obviously, they are mutating rapidly. Now, this is from Dr. Gibbs, and I apologize. This is a PC in the non-Mac world. My presentation is in Mac, so some of the graphics may be missing, including this one right here. What you're missing is a picture of a little comic that somebody had sent out over the internet showing how absurd this is. Now, this is 6 of 8 genes. This is Dr. Adrian Gibbs. You might remember about 10 days ago, there is a very, very esteemed researcher, virologist, and geneticist who worked to actually develop Tamiflu for Roche Corporation. World-renowned, recently retired, did the basic thing that I just said, it's common sense. He took the genetic sequences and looked at the rate at which mutations were taking place as the Mexican flu H1N1 was now suddenly coming to different parts of the world, and he was studying these sequences, and what did he find? He found that 6 of the 8 genes appeared to come from North America and 2 came from Eurasia. That's interesting. What the heck would something like that be doing in Mexico? And he says, quote, it's clear that all 8 genes have speeded up for the last 7 years. And he says, that struck me as really, really strange. But how in the heck did 2 viruses do that? He asked. Continue, quote, I bumped into an advertisement for influenza vaccine for pigs, and that contained 3 different viruses. End quote. The vaccine was supposed to contain kill versions of the virus, but what if there had been, he asked, what if there had been a lab accident and had survived? End quote. You know, I'm not sure whether Dr. Gibbs knows what really went down with the Salk and Sabin polio vaccines. But if you're looking at or questioning why we have hideous pandemic cancers around the world today, what he just said, what Gibbs wrote about this, today's flu, is identical to what happened back in the late 1960s. Here you had Bernice Eddy and Sarah Stewart, 2 brilliant women from the National Cancer Institute at their Bureau of Biologics, in charge of testing human vaccines for contamination at that time. They went to the Merck Pharmaceutical Company. They pulled first Salk, was the first polio vaccine developer then. After around 62, you had Albert Sabin come along. First, Salk had this allegedly killed vaccine. It was produced in monkey kidney tissues, and they took that and they treated it with formaldehyde, the viruses, and that allegedly it was killed. So they then gave it to millions of people. The Rotarians take pride for having supported the polio vaccine efforts of Salk and Sabin, allegedly wiping out polio. That's a lie, because essentially now you have meningitis, which is the same symptoms virtually as polio, and you have that pretty much all over the place. So you had first Salk putting out during the 50s this hideously contaminated, not fully killed viruses in the polio vaccines. And then in 1959, Bernice Eddy and Sarah Stewart took from the Merck shelves this vaccine and injected it into 12 monkeys. All 12 keeled over dead or became paralyzed. They took photographs of it. And they then showed the photographs and the evidence to Smidell, who ran the National Institute of Health. He confiscated the photos, told them to shut up, keep it quiet, and when they wouldn't, he began to demote them and defund them, which is how academic tracking is maintained. So it took Bernice Eddy, having named initially the virus S.E. polyoma, S.E. Stewart Eddy polyoma virus, which today is called SV40 after Dr. Maurice Hilleman, who you could watch on YouTube because of a segment that I put up when I found in the audio archives of the National Library of Medicine an interview conducted by the America's leading public broadcasting station, PBS, in Boston, WGBH, interviewed Hilleman, and he actually admitted bringing the AIDS virus into North America and contaminated monkeys destined for vaccine research and development at Merck. And he talks a little bit about this SE polyoma. Initially, he actually called it the SV40 virus. It would actually produce cancer in virtually every species it was injected into. In other words, Hilleman and his boys stole it from the girls, renamed it, renamed the virus. And subsequently, today, because of Eddie's work, we now know that American governors did nothing. 10 years later, 1972, from 62 to 72, Bernice Eddy went on a personal crusade to try to stop the epidemics of cancer that continued, because in 1962, when they first realized that they had just inoculated millions of people around the world with cancer viruses through these polio vaccines, they then initiated what's called the Special Virus Cancer Program, the largely funded, mostly secret program that ran from 1962, from which the AIDS-like viruses and the Ebola-like viruses were bioengineered by the U.S. military's sixth top biological weapons contracting firm called Litton Bionetics. All of this is in the book Emerging Viruses, including the United States government contracts. So that's what made the book Emerging Viruses a national bestseller. You might have heard during the heat of Barack Obama's presidential campaign, his minister was taking a lot of flack. Reverend Jeremiah Wright had the nerve to say during a sermon, this is, by the way, Barack Obama's longtime counsel, spiritual advisor for 20 years, personal family friend, came out in his ministry sermon saying the AIDS virus is a man-made laboratory creation created by the Anglo-American global industrialists to conduct genocide against people of color. The American media did not like that very much, so they demonized him, and Barack Obama showed his true colors, running away from the truth that shall set us free and running away from his spiritual counsel to get into the position he's now in, which is just an ordinary puppet for the global Illuminati, the global industrialists. The oligarchy, the cryptocracy, globalization, neocolonialization, these are the puppeteers that conduct genocide and depopulation in support of the New World Order. So 1972, Bernice Eddy goes before the United States Congress and says, if you continue to allow these vaccines to go out, I guarantee you over the next 20 years you'll have epidemics of cancer unlike the world has ever seen. They did nothing. That was 4 days before President Nixon's helicopter touched down on Fort Detrick soil. Fort Detrick is America's premier biological weapons testing center, like Porton Down is here in the UK. Nixon swore at that point we were turning swords into plowshares by making this the new home of the National Cancer Institute. From that moment on, U.S. biological weaponry continued under the guise of cancer research. And the National Cancer Institute is much like MI6, an intelligence agency that when you petition them for intelligence and you hit them with a Freedom of Information Act request, you don't get anything for national security reasons, they tell you. So Dr. Gibbs, his statement here, has a long history that the plagues, the recombinations that we're witnessing in the viruses, the book Emerging Viruses shows you also Ebola was a recombinant laboratory creation. Who says, well, the fact is the top leading expert in the whole field of diagnosing emerging viruses, Cy Coulter, way back in the 60s, in the meetings, in the scientific symposiums, said it. Said what you're looked at today as a crazy person for saying. How dare you, Dr. Horowitz, say that Ebola came from the labs? So at any rate, the documents are very, very clearly in there for anybody who cares to see how genocide is being conducted today. And Gibbs went on to say this. They were talking specifically both human and pig vaccine manufacturers use eggs to grow these viruses today for the flu vaccines. Gibbs notes that studies have shown that this odd avian environment can accelerate their evolution, these viruses' evolution. These viruses were not properly killed, he speculated. They could have reassorted in a pig and created new H1N1 strain. Very, very obvious Occam's razor, common sense type of thesis he raises. He says, quote, not killing off the virus could explain the whole thing very neatly, end quote. And yet you had officials of Centers for Disease Control and World Health Organization within hours of him saying this and capturing the media's attention. They discredited him and his whole thesis. Of course they would. What else would they do? They're heavily implicated in global genocide. What would you expect them to do? This is an interesting slide. You see where the red arrow is, and I would highly encourage you to pick up a copy of In Lies We Trust, the CIA, Hollywood, and Bioterrorism. It was the first full-length documentary film that I did based on last year I witnessed something, part of this psychological operation, PSYOPs, for conducting non-lethal warfare. We've got the United States Department of Health working with Homeland Security to develop a whole 24-hour broadcasting station over Dish Network, brought to you for free as one of the free channels in the most expensive Dish Channel network that you can purchase. And they tell you in here all sorts of lies about the history of bioterrorism. So I felt compelled. I said, I can't let this go. So I produced a 2-hour documentary called In Lies We Trust. And it talks a lot about the obvious manipulations of the public's mind in the area of public health. Now look at this outcome of the fright, the mental retardation and manipulation that we call mainstream media today, associated with the announcement of the Mexican flu outbreak. Now, you've got to understand that when the world started to hear first about the Mexican flu, that is when Mexican officials first started to alert World Health Organization officials and CDC officials, allegedly saying that, hey, we got a new kind of flu that's killing some people down here in Mexico. You've got to understand that days, literally a couple days before that, Novavax's preclinical trial on their various strain vaccine that would handle virtually all of the different flu strains, whether it be H5N1 or H1N1, because it had showed cross-reactivity, that had just come out in the scientific literature, and boy, they were prepared. They started to put out press releases. They hired the number one public relations firm called PR Newswire Service in the United States to already start to pump out the propaganda. So notice what their stock did. You see, that was the day where it takes a huge rise, where they start to realize the world starts to get wind that there is a virus that Reuters, having discussed this matter with the officials from CDC and World Health Organization, Reuters published, you know, like in the news, such as like 9/11. If you happen to catch the news like right away, before the spins get put on it, that's where you've got at least a minimal chance of getting to the root of the news. So before they put the spin on this now, Reuters popped out that this was extremely bizarre, that it didn't look like a natural flu from the beginning because it was a recombinant of both H5N1 and H1N1, and H5N1 is avian. H1N1 involves not just the flu that you're witnessing now, but sequences, apparently they even suggested, of the Spanish flu. So in other words, you've got the world's most feared influenza viruses here. Avian, swine, and Spanish flu in a recombinant, reports Reuters and officials at the very beginning of the news. And I believe that that's exactly, they were reporting correctly at that point. Then they flipped it, you know, because I got on it, a bunch of other colleagues got on it, and then they started to spin the news. So that was Novavax. Let's look at Baxter's and Baxter's genocidal history. Now I pray that you beautiful people will go out and tell enough of this truth to wake people up and save some lives. And I likewise thank Edge Communications and this beautiful television network for telling the truth in such a bold way. Perhaps they would present this information, this urgent information, this plea for not just sanity, but sustenance for humanity. Because it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, unless you are considering global genocide, to trust the British people's health to Baxter Corporation's vaccinations. This is the major company that's putting out the flu vaccines being purchased and stockpiled in Britain. So let's take a look. And by the way, this is an American corporation with Chinese laboratory connections and manufacturing capabilities in China. What is Baxter's history? Number one, Baxter is associated with H5N1 contaminated vaccines. And here's the sad reality. I already told you about how unstable these viruses are. I've already told you what these head honchos have been planning, priming the population. I've already told you what Reuters reported about the various sequences in the unstable, easily rearranged, easily mutated, recombined, new forming plagues that are circulating. And I've told you about psychological operations. Now, here's where you can begin to see the big picture. Because it just so happens that Baxter Corporation, one blip, it came out on the mainstream media for a half a day on page 35 of a newspaper, and basically it got no major airplay. Had two, quote, accidents with their vaccines and their vials of these viruses that were being transported throughout Europe. Oh, such a coincidence. Two separate incidences. One where actually the vaccines had been shipped to vaccine manufacturers. The viruses and the vials of viruses with vaccines, and the vaccines had been shipped to various vaccine makers across Europe that were somehow accidentally contaminated with these various strains. And if that's not bad enough, because they test those vaccines, how do you think they discovered the fact that these vaccines were contaminated? Because probably a few people died right off the bat. And then they looked and they go, oh my, where did this vaccine come from? Why, it came from Baxter. Let's call Baxter up and find out what they have to say about this. And they came out and said, we don't know how it happened. It was some sort of a laboratory accident. And that's all she wrote. And the next one was a train accident. How many of you are aware, having read, that there was some sort of a train mishap? I believe it was in Switzerland or Czechoslovakia. I'm not even sure where it was. But it was reported a couple weeks ago, and it made such minimal news. It just was a blip, and that was the end of it. And I apologize to you because I'm focused on Live H2O, which is the solution to humanity's problems. So I missed exactly what country that was in. But apparently there was an accident whereby Baxter's shipments of vials of viruses to another lab somehow broke, and they had to rush, I think it was about 150 people from the train to the hospital. And then they let everyone go. Are you serious? You've got an incubation period of at least 4 or 5 days. They were already reporting that everybody was released after the first day. So what have you effectively done with your accidents? You've got a Mexican flu evolving up, let's say, assuming they're telling us correctly, which you never know. Because the numbers currently of people dying from this alleged hideous, horrific pandemic are so small that it's obviously a psychological operation, fear induction, But assuming they're telling you the truth, that this is a new virus that's spreading up to North America, and then from North America they've been tracking it to Asia and then to Eurasia. Well, gee whiz, what's going to happen when that goes to Europe and meets the people who got infected with the accident? Unstable viruses. So if they're telling us the truth, then it is obvious genocide, and they have already loosed the big one, which they're telling you is coming. All the officials from World Health Organization and CDC are saying to you right now, it's on the news every day, the teleprompters are blowing, you know, the first case and your first death in England. It's like they're telling you by the fall, they're saying you can expect the big one, that this H1N1 virus is going to grow in strength, they say, to become the big one. So this is what they've done. Now you understand why Barack Obama has already legislated that every American is going to have 3 injections this coming fall. What else do we know about Baxter that would give us any semblance of security? Is there anything in their history? Absolutely, just the contrary. There's nothing in their history that suggests that this company would be reliable for anything other than conducting genocide. H5N1 contaminated vaccine. HIV, AIDS. You remember the Bayer Corporation, along with Baxter Corporation, distributed HIV contaminated blood clotting factor products, factor 8? I don't know if you caught that. That was in the news. There's been many lawsuits. They settled out of court eventually. There were allegedly only 10 or 11,000 recipients of an award, but there were many, many more people who apparently developed HIV/AIDS from blood transfusions. Cheap heparin. And by the way, while I'm on the subject of blood transfusion, you're looking at the Rockefeller family. The initial New York City Blood Council is a Rockefeller entity. So cheap heparin substitutes. These folks, instead of using $900 per product, per measure of product, they substituted a $9 product that put tens of thousands of recipients of heparin in jeopardy for their lives. That was a class action lawsuit against Baxter also. They had a Chinese plant that, because of the proximity, may be implicated in the Eurasian strain. But the Chinese plant was cited by the United States Justice Department for putting out medical pumps that were faulty. You might recall that the smallpox fright that was created right along with the anthrax mailings. And just to give you some history, this cover of Time magazine sources from that couple weeks after 9/11. In fact, it was on or about September 29th. So you had September 11th, 2001. A couple weeks later, I'm watching Peter Jennings on the CBS News. I know, let's see, ABC News. Finishes Wednesday night broadcast saying the following quote. Now, you got to understand, people in America are freaking out, right? Freaking out. Bioterrorism, all sorts of terrorism, right? This Wednesday night now, Jennings ends, quote, "Tomorrow, we're going to cover anthrax. We're going through your fears one by one, day by day. Good night." End quote. So, again, you don't have to be a rocket scientist with a behavioral science degree to say, hey, something's up. I want to watch that program. And the next night, Thursday night, it was all about Bayer Corporation's Cipro. In a minute, I'll tell you a little bit about Bayer Corporation's history related to Baxter. So what do? I watched this. It was a totally toxic Cipro, $700 for a 6-month supply, and if you talk to any halfway still intelligent physician, they tell you never to prescribe antibiotics for more than 2 weeks. This is a 6-month supply for $700 for something, and you can kill anthrax with garlic. You know, you want to prevent anthrax, go eat some Italian food. But the reality was, here now they're selling this, and so I started to do some research, and within literally hours, because I had been following anthrax for years, for about three and a half years. So I saw something, I saw a psychological operation unfolding. So what did I do? What any good-blooded American would do, contact the authorities. Went right down to my own FBI headquarters, marched in there and said, hey, and I had the book, Death in the Air. By the way, the book that I'm speaking about tonight, Death in the Air, let's think of the title, Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare, came out 3 months before September 11th. In June, that was already in the bookstores. So I already had the book. And now I take the book and I take this thesis, a draft of this thesis, it's urgent, down to the FBI headquarters. I say, you guys better get on the stick. You've got a major anthrax fright and a corporate manipulation unfolding here in America. Do you think they listened to me? Didn't matter that I've got 3 doctorates. It didn't matter I have Harvard trained. It doesn't matter that I've got already a best-selling book. They completely neglected me. So what happened? 8 days later, the first press release and the first major news media exposure of anthrax mailing happened, targeting the media and targeting the officials, both the liberal media and the liberal officials who would always take staunch stands against the drug industrialists, just happened to be the mail recipients. Do you think then the FBI came to me? Hell no! So I continued. So that was like September, end of September, October, November. Now it's finally December. I mean, we're hounding. Special report, anthrax investigation, Horowitz. It's been out. It's circulating all over the place. I am literally every day writing to the top FBI officials. Robert Mueller at the time was director. I'm writing him first nice letters. Then they got nasty. Never did come to me until 6 months later. Finally, in April, 2 agents were assigned to come interrogate me. They had an award, $1 million award, they said, for evidence leading to the apprehension of the suspects. They came to make me a suspect in the anthrax mailings. They drilled me for 2 days. They had no desire whatsoever to follow the most logical Occam's razor approach to common sense determination. None whatsoever. They were on assignment to get Horowitz. So at the end of 2 days, they were nice agents. I didn't have any problem with them personally. I got tired of it. And I said to them, finally, I said, listen, I've had enough. You have 2 choices right now. You could either arrest me right now, or those guns in your holsters, you can take those out right now and shoot me, kill me. Or you can leave, stop wasting taxpayer money and my time. They left. That was the end of that. Sad, ridiculously insane. So that's the fear factor. This is the anthrax mailings, and anybody, any idiot could have seen what was happening there. There was only one place that had the capacity to produce hyper-weaponized, hyper-concentrated, electromagnetized, silica-laced. It was concentrated to the tune of a trillion spores per gram, which was twice as concentrated as Russia ever produced in the heyday of biological weaponry. There was only one place in the planet that could have produced that. The British American Battelle Memorial Institute in West Jefferson, Ohio. And so with all of the evidence absolutely screaming, I got on the phone and I called William Broad from the New York Times, who had been doing an excellent job. In terms of a mainstream media investigative journalist in health, I have to give William Broad credit. I think he's a really good human being. Unfortunately, he's in a system that suppresses the truth. So I got on the phone with William Broad, who was covering the anthrax for the New York Times, and I said, Bill, I said, can't you do something about Battelle? He says, quote, yeah, all roads seem to lead to Battelle, don't they? End quote. I said, yeah. I said, can't you do something? Because I just sent him a copy of my 56-page special report on anthrax mailings. It's up on drlenhorowitz.com right now. You can get it. It's there for free. And so he says, I'll see what I can do. Well, that was the 13th. I think it was a Wednesday. He was just working on a main feature. And it came out the next day or on Friday. And the very last paragraph, I'll tell you, I was jumping for joy because at least the truth had been finally told. And I can't believe that his editor actually allowed it. I believe that he snuck it in. It was the very last paragraph, and unlike William Broad, where one paragraph follows another, it takes you through a story, all of a sudden this was like an add-on and it was an obvious appendage. And it said that it appears that the Battelle Memorial Institute in Ohio had the only capability to produce this type of an anthrax, and they happened to be under Central Intelligence Agency contract. That was the story. That was it, which was why the FBI couldn't do a damn thing. CIA, and it was reported here, I don't know, remember what press it was in Britain, but it was reported here in Britain that the CIA was suppressing the investigation conducted by the FBI. Now here is your Independent. The newspaper here in Britain says a Acambus is in talks to buy U.S. vaccine business. A Acambus, which was one of the major anthrax vaccine makers and smallpox vaccine makers. Actually, Acambus was in bed with the other anthrax vaccine maker called Bioport LLC, which was a major insider, Clinton administration, Admiral Crow from the United States Navy, heavy investor, Saudi involvement. In fact, when Osama bin Laden was tracked to Afghanistan in a cave, and you remember, for those of you who are awake, you remember the Bush family was total partners with the Obama family. Yeah, that's true. There's a real Freudian slip. The Osama bin Laden family, then that it was through the dealings through Carlyle Group that they had tons of investments together. One of those investments was in Bioport LLC, the only main vaccine maker for anthrax. Now, Acambus is working on smallpox, and if you are an avid investigator and somebody who sincerely appreciates meticulous scientific referencing, then what you should get is the book DNA, Pirates of the Sacred Spiral, because that book tells you who stole the Human Genome Project. Ultimately, you get to George Soros and boys. Controlling Acambus, controlling the J. Craig Venter from the Human Genome Project. All of these folks who were engaged in privatizing the university and public research laboratories' efforts to unravel the human genome. 2 weeks before it was supposedly completed, it was privatized, and Acambus is heart and soul central to the smallpox vaccine production, which was totally getting the genetically engineered viral strains from this clique of researchers and profiteers. So look what your Independent says about this company. Acambus, a biotech company best known for its smallpox vaccine, is negotiating a transforming acquisition of the vaccine business in the U.S. pharmaceutical group Baxter International. Now you're going to see a little bit of the shell game. You know, the where you put a little pea under the shell and you try to figure out where is the pea, under which of the three shells. This is the game that the pharmaceutical industrialists play. They change their names routinely. They sell their different corporate entities. And that's how it's challenging to, beyond tracking the money, following where the P ends up. So the origin of the P is the same throughout the healthcare industry. You've got to go back and you've got to understand and fully appreciate what we're dealing with today. You've got to investigate IG Farben and the Rockefeller cartel. I call it the military, medical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical cartel. Best name for it. It's one global beast. And so Bayer Corporation, Cipro, anthrax vaccine, smallpox vaccine, Baxter, Bioport, the Human Genome Project, and the origin of the Human Genome Project and what is taking place today in genetic engineering, you have got to understand, started way back in 1902. Dr. Levine at Rockefeller University Labs in New York and Cold Spring Harbor Labs in New York were funded for one purpose. They were funded to reduce population and the risk, the exposure that the corporate execs, the owners, you're talking about the Vanderbilts, the Carnegies, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, these folks had, the Whitneys, the Bush family, Prescott Bush, the past president's grandfather and father, these people funded what was called eugenics. Today it's called genetics. Might as well keep eugenics. It's more accurate. It's defined as the scientific investigation of genetic differences between the races, including the genetic predispositions for diseases between the races. So later on, when you study the special virus cancer program that I've already shared with you, was the source of HIV type and Ebola-like viruses and the great plagues that we're witnessing now, largely, vaccination intoxication, for population reduction. You've got to understand that many of those studies had to deal with how are we going to find a risk for health and morbidity and mortality among Italians, or Catholics, or Jews, or Hispanics. It was just given a new name. Eugenics is what it should be called today. And tomorrow I'm going to share with you what genetics really is about. You know, nothing you know that have accepted from mainstream, including what DNA is all about, is accurate. DNA, actually, I'm going to show you the evidence that proves, slam dunk, DNA is an antenna to the Creator. And I'm sorry if you don't believe in a Creator. I'll pray for you. Tomorrow I'm going to show you extraordinary, mathematically oriented, musically harmonic, and hydrated, hydrosonically oriented intelligence created your DNA to be a Tesla coil. It is literally a spiral that receives and transmits sound and light signals, and that's 93% of its function, is to receive and transmit light and sound signals, photon and phonon, reception and transmission for intercellular communication and cellular upregulation. What does that mean, cellular upregulation? A fancy word for saying you're manifesting right now, right here, miraculously before my eyes, through sound and light signaling coming out of water. Tomorrow I'll share with you the best definition of who you are based on all the most advanced electrogenetics. 93% of the function of DNA is in electrogenetics that the Rockefeller cartel has labeled junk DNA. That's all the junk, 93% of DNA that doesn't have to do with protein synthesis, that doesn't have to do with a template, serving as a template for amino acids to be brought in sequence to the ribosome, the protein manufacturing stations of the cell, where suddenly now you have sequencing and building of new proteins for new life, recreating your body. That's what genetics is, we're told, all about. Hogwash. You want to study just 3% of the function of anything and get the picture of it? You got to be an idiot. At least look at the 93% of the function of it. They call it junk. In other words, creator made a mistake, defecated in every cell of your body. Take it to the dump. This we call science, do you see? Most intelligent medical deities get indoctrinated into this Manchurian candidacy, given license to kill. So the genetic origin deals with I.G. Farben. Bayer Corporation was I.G. Farben's leading organization. The president of I.G. Farben was Hermann Schmitz during World War II. Hermann Schmitz owned more shares of Rockefeller Standard Oil stock than any of the individual Rockefellers owned. Full-fledged married partner, end quote. That's from a U.S. Judicial trial conducted to determine whether the Rockefellers had been enemies national, traitors against both the America and the Brits here. In fact, you might recall, if you study history, that Rockefeller Standard Oil continued to supply the Wehrmacht with gasoline and oil to keep them going, but they refused to give it to the Brits. So, enemy nationals, and the reason why they were full-fledged married partners with I.G. Farben, and the source of eugenics ended up going from Cold Spring Harbor Laboratories in New York to the Germans, to Hitler's finest. Joseph Goebbels was the propaganda minister, whose name comes up in tomorrow's presentation again with regard to the music that shall set us free. But the Nazis took over what was called eugenics. They renamed it the Racial Hygiene Program for the Superior Race. And that at the time, in essence, the top officials at the SS were the top officials at I.G. Farben and the Bayer Corporation and BASF and Hoechst. They were then decartelized, quote-unquote, decartelized by John J. McCloy at the end of World War II, a Rockefeller banker and lawyer, broke up I.G. Farben into the principles that we're witnessing today in this shell game of petrochemical pharmaceutical intoxication, manipulation of the population, and all ecology and humanity. So American cyanamide today, Chevron Corporation, whether you're dealing with the West Nile virus, the spraying of hideous pesticides, allegedly for safety, it's all a global intoxication, human intoxication, supporting this non-lethal warfare, revolution in military affairs, administration of the Russian biological cocktail, whether it's the foods you're eating that are polluted, the water that you're drinking that's got fluoride, mind control, brain neurology, dumbed down, mind control, enslaving ingredient for the water supplies and the chlorine. Gee whiz, you know, we're not idiots. You could kill viruses and pathogens with ultraviolet light. What the hell do you need to intoxicate humanity for? Ozone, oxygenation. We're going to get into this stuff tomorrow. You'll be just thrilled. All of the truths that shall set us free. Yeah. So, American Home Products, all the major corporations, by the way, Merck, try to do an intelligence run on Merck family, and you will get virtually nowhere beyond 1942. It was when World War II was happening. You had President Roosevelt personally appoint George H.W. Merck, president of the Merck Pharmaceutical Company, one of the oldest drug makers in the world, to be America's biological weapons program director. So if you wonder why today the Merck Pharmaceutical Company is premier on the list of genocidal corporations through vaccination intoxication and disease induction, That's why we have, everything's flipped. You have Centers for Disease Control. It's actually Centers for Disease Creation. Everything's backwards. We'll talk about that tomorrow. You'll be just blown out tomorrow. Totally. I have so many wonderful things to share with you tomorrow. It's great. So, in essence, you're looking at the cartel largely directed by Merck, and there's no intelligence on it that I have been able to find. It'd be fascinating, maybe political postdoctoral thesis to do a family history on the Merck family. I think it's high secrecy, the highest levels of MI6. And by the way, tomorrow I'm going to share with you how MI6 got its name. Associated with music and mathematics and the freedom and truth about our spirituality and co-creatorship, our literally, our divine human communion capability that we're going to be celebrating tomorrow. In the meantime, let's look at the guys like Rockefeller's empire here. What are they doing today? Everything. Just there's so much incredible, obvious now facts that we're gonna that we see. The decryption of their Illuminati's code implicates Rockefeller's heavily in population reduction included. Here you're looking at Negative Population Growth Inc. full page advertisement in the most esteemed political periodical in the world, Council on Foreign Relations, Journal of Foreign Affairs. Council of Foreign Relations takes its command from Committee of 300, which if you study has a lot to do with how the Illuminati, the royal families included, control from top down the geopolitics and economics of the globe. Why we need a smaller U.S. population is very clearly articulated in this full-page advertisement that has subsequently appeared in other magazines and even not political periodicals like Foreign Affairs is. I think the last time I saw one, it was in Harper's. Harper's carried this full page, a little bit updated, slightly changed. But if you look carefully at this, they're calling for a U.S. population reduction of at least half. Currently, we stand in the United States at about 350 million people. They're calling for levels back down to the 40s of 125 to 140 million people. So again, if you are in a position of power and you have a desire to reduce the world's population by at least half, how are you going to go about doing that? Obviously, most profitably. How do you do that? Obviously, through a covert operation of intoxication, where you put into work your Manchurian candidates called medical deities. That's how you do it. You don't do it any other way. There's no other reasonable, rational way to do it. So you should know a little bit about the Rockefeller family. They monopolized American medicine back in the 1920s via the bogus Abraham Flexner's demonizing of all of the natural healing modalities. Chiropractic, acupuncture, essential oils, aromatherapies, all of these wonderful natural herbs, homeopathy, all of what we really could absolutely celebrate together to keep us totally healthy. And, you know, I'm an ambassador for the World Organization for Natural Medicine. We just had a conference in Toronto the other day. And Clinics for Humanity project, whereby we go into different parts of the world and establish natural healing clinics and actually accreditation where we can actually create naturopathic doctors through education, a five-year training program online. Now you can do your studies online. You can go into these urban sites and you can address the needs of the populations who are being underserved, using natural things, everything from water. When you know the secrets of water, that is the truth that shall set everybody free. So tomorrow's presentation is about that. In essence, by the 1920s, we had lost the capacity to exercise our freedom to heal naturally, thanks to Abraham Flexner, who was working for Rockefellers. And that if you understand who's training the doctors, and you understand, as I do, behavioral science, mind control, there's no difference between the medical establishment and the manner in which all of these scientists and medical deities actually think and act than any other cult follower in the world. The same, precisely the same, or nearly the same methods are used for the induction, the indoctrination of the medical deities that is used for cult indoctrinations. You're talking about trauma-based learning. You're talking about sleep deprivation. You're talking about peer pressure. You're talking about financial and economic stressors. You're talking about literally training and repeating over and over and over and over and over again that the magic pill is going to cure every ill. So by the time these guys get out, I mean, that's why I can't look at Robertson and say he's an alien. You know, I can't claim he's a reptilian, although he may be. But what I can absolutely certainly say is that he's conducting genocide under the guise of public health. I would just study hepatitis B vaccine. If you have any desire to use any common sense, or if you still have a cell still operating in your brain, then you can still get that, for example, hepatitis B, which is currently today being given by the medical deities, urged by the medical doctors in hospitals, 12-hour-old infants whose immune systems are not even mature yet, they're given not one, not two, but three injections of hepatitis B. What is hepatitis B? It's a blood-borne pathogen, far and away a sexually transmitted disease. That's 96% of the people who contract hepatitis B are sexually promiscuous. The 4%, you're dealing with healthcare professionals or IV drug users who get stuck with bloody needles that are infected. That accounts for virtually all of the people who get hepatitis. So why then are we giving hepatitis B injections to our 12-hour-old infants that in fact even contain mercury? Because it's obvious genocide. Profiteering off of humanity's suffering. And then what happens is, you know, we've got in the United States an AstroTurf organization. You know, grassroots activism is really where it's at, right? Right? Rah, rah, rah. We the people. We can set ourselves free, right? We're intelligent. We'll get together in these groups. We'll send our money, make our contributions to our organizations, and we will thereby conquer evil, right? That's what you hope for. That's what our loving hearts believe. So in the United States, however, infiltration has occurred at every single level, including the grassroots organization called National Vaccination Information Center, run by people who were in bed with and on the take financially from the lawyers and the special interest representatives on Capitol Hill to create this organization. From the beginning, from its inception. I'm speaking about Barbara Lowe Fisher, Kathy Williams, stole from Marge Grant, who was on Phil Donahue's show to try to start this organization as a truly grassroots organization. Instantly, the lawyers and the money got involved and threw Marge out. And now we've got, in the United States, most of the people and all of the media always covers what Barbara Lowe Fisher, National Vaccine Information Center, has to say. And what does she say? She says, oh yeah, we have some problems with vaccines. We need to really look carefully at those problems. But in general, vaccines are probably pretty good. Hogwash! Message. Do not ever again get vaccinated with anything. Nothing. Zero. Zip. The entire industry is a genocidal scam. AstroTurf organizations, beware of them. They look like they're green. You know, like AstroTurf, it's rolled out before the big game. But it's plastic. Doesn't have real roots. Doesn't have real grass roots. And then I'm sad to say that the ministry that I am thrilled to be involved in, which is called the Royal Bloodline of David, and I'm sure some red flags are going to go up in some of you, and for those of you who like David Icke, and I love David Icke, you know, I wish he would just stop bad-mouthing me and putting stuff on his website that says, oh, I'm up in arms about Horowitz taking on a knighthood. Gee whiz, you know what, well, let me ask you something. Assuming the worst, assuming that Horowitz was a sellout to the Illuminati, and I'm standing here, and I love this, because you know what? The truth shall set you free. And it's not up to me to develop your level of discrimination and discernment so that you can be all that you can be. It's up to you. So I love this subject. If the Pope, who is alleged to have come to me and knighted me, came to you and said, you know what, Dr. Horowitz, we in Catholicism love what you're doing. We honor the fact that you're out there in the forefront showing the military, medical, petrochemical industrials for conducting genocide through vaccinations under this guise of public health, and we want to knight you for that. Are you serious? You're going to tell me you're not going to accept that? What a joke. Now, that didn't happen, by the way, but even if it did, you know, where so many of us, and particularly the ones who are bemoaning me and demonizing me and saying all sorts of weird things about Horowitz, or alleging to be Christians, you know, the fundamental right-wing patriots of the United States are heavy on my case. Well, if you're Christian, well, what happened to keeping your friends close and your enemies closer? Where's the wisdom in that? What is the wisdom of that? Tomorrow, you're going to learn more about the wisdom in that. Tomorrow, you're going to learn about why Horowitz is still here today. Why Horowitz hasn't been assassinated yet. Yea, though we walk through this valley of insanity and hypocrisy and global genocide and fear no evil. Fear, false evidence appearing real. What's the reality? The reality is that you're all divine beings. You're all powerful co-creators who have been dumbed down maximally. Everything from this language that I'm speaking today, that I'm going to share with you tomorrow, is literally a complete reversal of the sacred languages, the alphanumerics of creation. Like CDC is centers for disease creation. Everything is flipped. The English language you'll see tomorrow is flipped. Scientifically, precisely, to be the maximum spiritually unraveling, dissonant language. Suppressing who you really are. So these are the kinds of truths that we're setting people free. So here you going back to this pivotal moment in history where you're going to choose in or choose out. I'm dealing with this ministry, Royal Bloodline of David, which is the only ministry in the world that I'm aware of that is actually taking on the beast and saying, no, enough is enough. We want to maintain our spiritual religious exemptions, our bodies sovereign. This is a Holy Spirit-filled temple. I don't want you and your pharmaceutical industrialists injecting, infecting, intoxicating me and my children. Excuse me, I need to literally depend on, and even if you don't like the Bible, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, in my humble opinion. What's in the Bible tells you, you have a sovereign spiritual, not just right, but you have an assignment to keep your blood pure, to keep genetics, foreign RNA and DNA and chemicals, heavy metals, aluminum, formaldehyde, formalin, MSG, mercury, monosodium glutamate, all of the things that they have in vaccines, besides what I told you earlier. You don't need that for natural immunity when you've got everything empowering you for optimal creativity. It's got to be aliens who are doing this. They're not of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not of the original children of the Creator. And that becomes your greatest liability and susceptibility of being taken out is that you may still think that they're of us, that the politicians in the parliament that's falling apart by design for the new world order. Duh. Of course, you got to, if you want a new world economic system, you got to take down the old economic system. Duh. It's like boiling a frog. You heat it up slowly. You don't immediately, instantaneously, otherwise the frog jumps out. Otherwise the people revolt. You got to dumb them down and boil them slow. So this concept that this phenomenon is not happening by either chance. It is by divine destiny that it's happening, just like you're here right now by divine appointment. It's a synchronicity. And that if we love our children, like Sting's magnificent song back in 1986 was Russians. If the Russians love their children too, then they'll make the choice that we're talking about here this weekend. Stop the omnicide, the genocide. Omnicide is killing everything. From the water pollution and the degradation of the environment, tragedy. Now here comes the final segment in this portion of the program. Here's the latest research. Came out May 21st, 2009. Researchers had done a sophisticated study on arsenic, but in the process of reporting on arsenic and its influence, not just doubling the amount of morbidity and mortality and immune toxicity and susceptibility to flus, not just doubling, not just tripling, fivefold increase they have noted in intoxicated populations, and not just from arsenic, but the increase of chemical exposures that we've been in now given shows a dramatic increase in our susceptibility to being taken out when this flu comes around. So again, you've got right now, what is it? June, July, August, September, October, November. Miracle 6, MI6, you got 6 months, in my estimation, if I'm reading the intelligence properly. And I believe I am, and I believe that they have no alternative, that they can't go back because they've already loosed it, and they're running out of time because we're waking up. So they've got to go ahead with their plan. And I think the lunatics maybe still believe that they can beat the Creator. We'll see soon. So this is what is now in some of the news. You see that human population has not only been seeded with the biosimilars, the new viruses, swine flu, avian flu, Spanish flu, but now we are intoxicated and optimally susceptible to succumbing from this. And then when you look at the immune system, the graphic shows an aquaporin, a protein that was discovered by a Nobel Prize winner just a few years ago about how water works in our bodies and how important water is. You see toxicity? The mediator of everything is water. And that now we know, Nobel Prize winners have proven, how water actually gets into your body is the same way electrogenetics operates. It's all real simple. It's all positive and negative charges. The entire universe is a piezoelectric system. Piezoelectricity, positive, negative, proton, neutron, male, female, yin, yang. It's all simple. Computers work. One or zero. Codes. All simple. So that's how health and life and spirituality are mediated. Simply. Hydrosonically. Sound on water. So this section deals with water as being the universal solvent. Tomorrow we'll talk about the original musical scale and sound. Ut, re, mi, fa, sol. Solve a pollute in Latin. Solve the pollution. Solve the problem in English. The universal solvent is water. Again, I'll give you that pitch. On the 19th, June, 3 weeks from now, to the 21st, there's going to be 40 venues right now that are registered. There was one registered for Britain. If you call the one, the fellow who signed up to direct the London Live H2O concert, you'll get nothing but excuses from him. In essence, if MI6 had a desire to infiltrate us in London and keep you from having the greatest spiritual musical concert in Earth's history, they couldn't have done a better job. So right now, you have no live H2 event happening. I expect that somebody in this audience is a hero. Maybe there's many of you, and by the end of this weekend, you'll put your name on a list to get together and somehow miraculously manifest Britain's presence, the concert for the living water. So this concept of water being the universal solvent, we're about to marry humanity's heart. Our loving intention to create lasting peace on earth, world health, and universal prosperity in all ways. Heralding what's already out there, all of the solutions to all the problems. You don't like petrochemical pollution? Great. Right now we can run all of our engines off of hydrogen fuel. Go on livehh2o.org right now. There's a beautiful video board there. You can click on several of the videos showing you how right now in Japan they're running automobiles completely off of water. Not partially, completely off of hydrogen fuel. Right now the propagandists are gearing up for the, quote, water wars. We're engaged with war against everything. Anti this, anti that, war against AIDS, war against drugs, war against cancer. Now it's water wars. Click on a video and watch researchers and experts in the field show you how you can actually get water out of the air, even in arid desert regions. So there's no need other than a political genocidal imposition to have dehydration and starvation affecting planet Earth. And it's not expensive technology compared to all the money that we're pouring down the drains, literally, in garbage intoxication. And you probably heard that the water pollution is so now high in levels of psychotropic drugs and antidepressants and antibiotics that your babies being born today are being hideously intoxicated from the get-go. Choice point. Can't go on. Can't get any worse. I stopped over in New York on the way here. Front page of the New Yorker this week. This week's New Yorker front page cover story is the extinction of the human race. It's a story, I read it. A story about frogs and various other species. How suddenly they're totally vanishing. And you know, kind of like in their kind of like New Yorker, like go watch the Yankees, drink a beer and forget about it. It's kind of like that. It's written in that kind of sense, you know. It's kind of like, what? Are you telling me you're not going to tell the truth at this point? You're going to give me the same old garbage? Oh, bad stories coming along. Anyway, we've got these issues that we've got to face now, and the reality is that it's all about water. We're about to marry on this special weekend humanity's heart filled with love into the universal solvent, the liquid crystal superconductor, the creative juice of the universe. We're about to marry the frequency of 528 at the center of our hearts, that warm, fuzzy feeling you get when you're in love. It's an energy. It's a spirituality. It's an essence. Therefore, it's a vibration. So we're going to marry that with the intention to bring on peace of earth, intention to bring on change in a positive way, to resolve this decimation of the population and this genocidal greed. So we're going to marry the human hearts with the universal solvent using the universal language, music, to produce the universal healer, love. So this is what you're going to have to produce as a result of being at this conference today and tomorrow. This concept of there being a triune God, we're going to cover tomorrow. In the beginning, there was the Creator, there was the water, even before there was a Word, even before the Holy Spirit. You know, you've heard of the Trinity. Even before the Trinity in history, you had the water. We're going to talk about that. The creative juice, this concept of having peace on earth, this concept of having Garden of Eden. You know, I'm from Hawaii. Hawaii, interestingly enough, in Hebrew means Isle of Eve, paradise. And backwards, we're going to look about reverse speech. We're going to look at reverse language. We're going to look at how English language was created in the 1400s by the Anglo-Saxons to dumb us down maximally. For the new world language is for the new world order. And that you see, Hawaii backwards is Yahovah. Not by chance. You ever look at the word island and go, that's a strange word. Is land. The land of is. The land of being. The essence of spirituality. Beingness. In the middle of the water. So this is the concept. If you simply learn, and I'll share tomorrow more about hydrogen, oxygen, and water, you have got total spiritual immunity. You can walk totally impervious to everything that they're throwing at you. And if you totally commune with the glory and the power and the spirit of water, I urge you to get a documentary and watch it called Water, the movie. The Russians just produced it a little while ago. It just is coming to the United States. Get that. It is totally transformative. You'll understand what I'm talking about here. There are a few bottles out there left. I saw people just grab an OxySilver. Why do I love this? And this is not a commercial. This is a life-saving message for waking up. In the 1950s, a German researcher, and this deals with this issue of infectious diseases. It's not off topic at all. Researchers in Germany developed what's called silver hydrosols. The basic fundamental mechanism that they used was a non-nuclear reactor that used sound and light to literally cause little nanoparticles of silver to bond to the water, actually bond to the oxygen in water. So you probably have heard of colloidal silvers and how beneficial they are. And by the way, you know, probably if you're awake, that blue bloods typically meant that you were impervious. You were at the highest levels of the aristocracy. You were impervious to the infectious diseases of the common person because why? You ate with silverware. Your water was in silver bowls and cups. And as you were drinking and as you were getting micro amounts of colloidal silver, which kept you from getting the plagues. Duh! So colloidal silvers recently have been, along with Codex Alimentarius legislation, which is the German-British intention to manipulate America and the capacity of both Canadians and Americans to have access to the botanicals, the vitamins, the minerals, the supplements. All of that is being regulated under this new world order codex. Harmonization, they call it. We want all harmonized. Isn't that sweet? Maybe we invite them to the concert with us. But the reality is that now our ability to have access to all the natural things are being taken away. 1950s had already seen another level of protection and lower risk of the minor illness called argyra that is caused when you consume a lot of colloidal silver, and then that silver deposits in the tissues because it's so large, it's not bonded to the water, it falls out and it gets into the tissues. And the worst disease that comes from taking it chronically, and I always tell people, you know, if the Creator had meant you to take colloidal silver daily, He would have had you born with a piece of silver stuck up your butt. So don't. Only use it if you need it, and use it sparingly. But in the 50s, they had already gone way light years beyond colloidal silver in what's called silver hydrosols. It's a nanotech. It's not nanotechnology even. It's simply a nano-sized silver, which is a superconductor, and so is water. Water is literally a liquid crystal superconductor of sound and light. And silver is likewise. So that's frequency generator electrical conduction is silver. You put those two things together is what they did, bond it to the water, and you've got literally something that can eliminate all infectious diseases from planet Earth. There's no reason to be at all fearful or concerned or putting vast billions of dollars in stockpiling garbage. Right now, we've invited about a half a dozen lower-level corporate and intelligent industrialists to invest $1.5 million in manufacturing companies for various nations. Then they can create their own as much as they want. It's not really that hard to do once you have the basic technology down. So you take what happened as an indication of suppression. In the 1980s, the American federal government was looking for a way to keep astronauts healthy in space. The critical issue in space is infectious diseases and water. All water in space is recycled, whether it's your urine or whether it's anything else. And so they needed to have a mechanism that would literally free the astronauts from potential infectious diseases. And they came out with this, they rejuvenated this 1950s reactor technology that covalently bonded the nano silver to the oxygen in water. And the beauty in that also was the fact that when you do that, the molecular structure of water, which is so miraculous, we'll talk more about how come in the various ways it's miraculous tomorrow. But one of the things that happens is you create an oxygen cloud. You create a lot of oxygen. And if you've been awake and aware of natural healing, one of the most powerful natural healing elements of all is element number 8, oxygen. And so you create an oxygenation therapy, an ozonation type of oxygenation capacity in this silver hydrosol that's covalently bonded. So they took that and they worked with it, and they've been working with it ever since. That's what keeps your astronauts healthy in space. So what happened was that the student of the man who developed that technology for NASA came to me and said, I have this product, I'd like to work with you and have you help us bring it to market. And so I created the whole brand called OxySilver based on it. And why I love it the most is because of not only what I've already told you. I said, let's not just play games. You know, in Jesus' time, when he did all that healing, right, all the stories about how miraculous healings would be made to come about, we're going to talk about that tomorrow too, because over the next several months, I pray no more than a couple years, you will have been so blessed, so uplifted by the divine intelligence, both that I'm sharing and that you're already getting and evolving because of spiritually, uplifting, maximally, that you'll be able to fulfill what Jesus said. He said there will be time that comes that you will do more than what I have done. So far, I haven't seen that happen. But if you understand water and you understand how it works in your own bodies, and 80% of your body water is part of that triune God, then you understand when people want to know, how come taking a couple teaspoons of this silver hydrosol, how come my infectious disease went away like that? Then you can tell them the truth that shall set them free maximally. You can tell them how simple healing and health and spirituality really is. And it's all about hydrogen, oxygen, H2O, and water. That's what I love about this product most. And I love the fact that now we've developed and we have advanced our understanding of creationism, scientifically determined, mathematically precise, slam dunk. Understand that we now know there's only 9 core creative frequencies in the universe. There's only 9 numbers in the whole universe that make everything tick. And that warm, fuzzy feeling you have in your heart, I mentioned earlier, is 528 hertz frequency. Well, gee whiz, I'd have to be a complete lame brain not to say to John, John, let's put some love into OxySilver, 528 hertz frequency. Because it's a superconductor, in fact, a double superconductor. You got water, liquid crystal superconductor, and silver superconductor combined. Let's fill it with love. And so if you know anything about homeopathics and resonance within water, you understand what we've created in essence is a constitutional remedy that's based on love. Yeah. So what a great blessing that is. And we're experiencing like a lot of people who really appreciate what we're doing and have been getting the benefits. So that's a little bit about OxySilver and water technology that we don't need to go with these vaccinations. We don't need to go with the Tamiflu chemical intoxications. It's all about hydrosonic salvation, saving the water within us included. So whether we're talking about growing incredible crops, you know, the 528 hertz frequency, I'll mention this again tomorrow. I'll go over this so you get it. You know, the heart, the center of your heart is connected to this way through the center of the universe because the whole universe is resonating through a musical mathematical matrix at the center of which is 528. Fundamental to everything is 528 hertz frequency. And so this concept that the botanical world is mostly green, not by accident. Why would a baby leaf in spring come out greenish-yellow consistently? Because it's reaching for the broadest spectrum of love capacity. It's reaching for the center of the electromagnetic color and sound spectrum, which is 528. So this concept of, you may have heard of biosonics. We say we have food shortages and this shortage and that sort, and we need to war against this and a war against that. Hogwash! It's time we change the paradigm. It's over. It is so over. That's why I say it's not even end times now. It's not even last act now. It's the after party, and you're all invited. Biosonics, plant growth. The plants grow like the size, like when you know what was happening during the ages. Perfect timing. I've got 5 minutes. That's perfect. What was happening in the ages of the dinosaurs that was keeping the dinosaurs healthy? Huge plants, humongous botanical capability, growth capacity. And this is the same understanding that we now have. So let's get on with it. Let's make that choice. Let's move ahead. Everything from being all that we can be, the suppressed biotechnologies. I have a friend who's in jail right now. He was just incarcerated for 120 years. His name is Jim Folsom. He's the most advanced, wonderful, full-hearted, beautiful Christian man who I've ever met, who's contributed his whole life and all of his money to Rife technology, advancing machines, electromagnetic, bioenergetic frequency generators that have miraculous healing capabilities. He just went to jail for 120 years. He refused to do a plea bargain. He refused to, for $250, settle and say yes, he practiced medicine without a license and made false claims. He didn't want to do that because he said, I'm going for it, and they've locked him up. So right now he's one of our poster child for Live H2O in America. He is a political prisoner, but it's not just an American political imposition. It is a global cartel that's behind this. So at any rate, do join us tomorrow and do get together in working groups. I'm going to ask Ian and the administrative staff to put out some sort of a paper that has a sign-up form that those of you who wish to work together to create this concert here in London and or at a venue that's by a body of water, I'm sure there will be musicians. There's probably in this crowd a half a dozen musicians who would be willing to play. We're talking about retuning a little bit, if you can, down to 528, going up to 528 or to 417. You'll learn why tomorrow. This has to do with my revelations in the book Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse. In 1998, we published the original six musical scale notes, of which we're now firmly understanding we are the music. The entire universe comes out of the music. And so please, we'll get that sign-up form. Those of you, pray tonight. Look into your own heart. See if you can literally manage the time. It's not a big sacrifice at this point because we've only got 3 weeks to the event. I can tell you most pleased today as I got this incredible mail, and I'll end with this. I'll end with this tonight. I got this wonderful mail today from White Eagle Medicine Woman, who is a Alaskan native, a white woman, blue eyes, blondish hair, got spiritually called by the grandmothers from the other side, the deceased native elders, and 13 years ago was instructed to create the most huge, magnificent drum on planet Earth called Grandmother Drum. And I can't tell you the half a dozen, I don't have time to tell you the half a dozen synchronicities, divine appointments that were kept in order for me to meet her, have the experience of what this drum is really about, and then now find her at Jerusalem preparing to have this event in Jerusalem, which is linked underground through caves from the old temple in Jerusalem to the Pyramid of Giza, which is at 19.5, and directly on the opposite side of this planet at 19.5 is the Island, is Hawaii, and that's where we've got our place. Basically, we've set up the most powerful energy grid on the planet to be the recipients of the new Ark of the Covenant. The History Channel did a segment a couple months back on the anthropologist here in London who determined that most likely the Ark of the Covenant, that powerful energy-transmitting, spirit-filled technology, was a drum. Well, I've experienced this, and I can tell you this planet will not be the same after you join voices with us, and there's going to be drumming, prayer, and chanting. On Sunday the 21st, you've got to stop everything that you're doing on June 21st. Check out the times online at www.liveh2o.org. We have our own television network. If you know people who have websites, make sure that you go online on liveh2o.tv and click on the embed. It'll give you the embed code for installing on all your websites the LiveH2O player. That means we can't bitch and moan and complain anymore, that we can't get our word out, our truth out. We now, our goal in the next 3 weeks is to have 1,440 stations that you can have for free right now on your own website that is going to transmit live from at least 9. It looks like as many as 12 different venues right now. I was hoping, and if you go on there right now, you'll still see London. I was sold out. So we've got a little bit of work to do. We need a venue. Build it and they shall come. If you just get the venue, if there's somebody in this audience who knows where there's a nice park or a stream or a river not far from here where you can assemble and join us, given the fact that you have the most wonderful, conscious-raising television network on the planet right here in this room right now, and all the loving hearts and the technicians capable with Edge Communications for putting out this truly alternative, absolutely uplifting view of the world as it really is, then you have all the capacity to still be, in the next 3 weeks, position yourself as a leading venue for the concert for the living water. I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you.